This passage is very important to us as Christians because worry is, whether we like it or not, a common part of life. We worry about different things perhaps, but we'll all have things that play on our minds at some point. Might be worries that have crept into your life about things like bills or health or family or the future or your job at this time or what job you're going to have in the future. All of these things can play on our minds and cause us to worry about what if this and what if that and what's going to happen next. And the funny thing is that, when we worry, it can sometimes give us this sense that we're actually doing something about the problem. Worrying feels like doing something. I think we've got a slide, just a sermon slide on the screen as well. Jesus at the Sermon on the Mount, which is where he taught this teaching that we're looking at today. When we're worrying, we tend to be simulating in our minds something that we're concerned is going to happen. Maybe even something that's happened in the past and we're thinking it might happen again in the future. And the thing about our brain is it's so powerful that when we simulate something in it, it can actually make our bodies feel like that thing is actually happening. You've probably heard the expression, I'm sure you have, worrying yourself sick. It shows the link between the things that we think in our minds and the way that our bodies react. We can worry ourselves so much that our worries are not just an unpleasant experience in our mind as those thoughts go through and through, but there it's an unpleasant experience in the whole of our body as we start to feel that sickening in the bottom of our stomach that something awful is going to happen. Jesus shows us how he'd like us to be as his disciple. He shows us his desire for us in this passage, which is that he simply says, do not worry. Now, at first you might think, well, okay, Jesus, but have you thought about the things that I'm worrying about? We're often taught, that when someone's worrying that we need to try and validate that person's feelings to say, I see why you would be worrying about that before we go on. Sometimes we might get told off just because we say, oh, don't worry about that. Don't worry. That's nothing. You should hear my problems. That's nothing. But actually, this is not the only teaching of Jesus about worry or in the Bible about worry. And actually, in this teaching itself, Jesus gives us plenty of reasons following on from this command not to worry as to a different strategy that we can have towards problems in our lives other than the worrying strategy. Because instead of worrying, Jesus calls us to look around and to remember. Look around and remember. He says, don't worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is life not more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns. Jesus lists a few common worries there. We worry about our life in general. We worry about what we're going to eat, about what we're going to drink. We worry about what we're going to wear. Now, all of these are actually fairly fundamental worries. It's not like we're talking about, I'm worried that I don't have the latest Ferrari on the drive or something like that. Eating and drinking and the clothes that are going to keep us warm, because that's the kind of thing Jesus is talking about. He's not talking about fashionable clothes. He's really pointing towards clothes in and of themselves that keep us warm. These are fundamental worries. Yet, presumably, if Jesus is focusing on fundamental worries, then he's going to give us, in response to this, a fundamental teaching that we need to listen to when it comes to these things. Namely, that there is more to life than food and clothes. And if you were to look at the most fundamental physical needs of a human being or even an animal, you'd start to list things like food, shelter, warmth, etc. And yet, whilst these needs are fundamental, they only represent our physical needs. Jesus wants to show us that there's another, even more fundamental need that we each have in life, and that is the knowledge of God. The knowledge of God. He says, look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? One thing that we could do is by worrying, we could take away hours of our lives that we spend doing that. I think I've probably worried for hours in the past. But Jesus is reminding us of a fundamental truth in Scripture. The truth in Scripture is that God has created the world and he continues to care for it. He's not a God or the God. I shouldn't say a God. We've had that today. The God who created the world and then left it. But he created the world and then he continues to care for it. And if it's true for the people that Jesus was talking to at the time, and if it was true for the birds and the flowers, then it's true for us. Jesus says to the people around him, how much more is this true? It's one of those phrases that Jesus uses sometimes in his teaching. How much more then is this true for you? He quickly follows up the example of the birds with an example of the flowers, because he's moving from the fact that he's talking about food in one instance and then he's talking about clothes in another. He then talks about the flowers in his second example. Why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? He's talking about Solomon there. Solomon, who was very blessed by God. He was given the gift of wisdom by God. He was King David's son, and the reigns of David and Solomon were when Israel was united. It wasn't split into the northern and the southern kingdom. It was one kingdom of Israel. And this is a golden age that you can point back to in Scripture. And so he's talking about one of the greatest, most famous kings who had all this wisdom and wealth. And he's saying, well, even Solomon's clothed as beautifully as the flowers are clothed. So how much more will God clothe you? And often when a teacher starts teaching things and starts giving advice, you want to know that they are carrying out that in their own life, that they're not being a hypocrite, that they're being genuine. And as we look at the life of Jesus, because remember, this is his teaching, it's not my teaching. But as we look at the life of Jesus, and when we go to an instance such as when he was talking to the woman of the well in Samaria, after he has spoken to her, after she's run back into the town saying, come meet the man who knows everything I ever did. Surely he's the Messiah. It says his disciples urged him, Rabbi, eat something. But he said to them, I have food to eat that you know nothing about. Then his disciples said to each other, could someone have brought him food? My food, said Jesus, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Another time when we see Jesus act in a similar way to that is when he is being tested and tempted in the desert, in the wilderness, before his earthly ministry was to begin. And the devil is there and Jesus hasn't eaten for 40 days and 40 nights. And he says to them, look, make these stones become bread so you can eat it. And Jesus quotes from Deuteronomy in the Old Testament that says, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Jesus shows that our most fundamental need is a spiritual one. And it's not that he's denying the importance of our physical needs, but that he teaches us to trust that those needs will in some way be filled by God, and that we can give those concerns and worries into his hands. Jesus began his ministry with that trip into the wilderness. And when you think about the kind of ministry that Jesus had, I reckon that that was a really great preparation ground. Those 40 days of not eating, surely that was good preparation for those long journeys with his disciples on the road. Across Galilee, across Samaria, across other places in Israel and the surrounding areas. Surely it was preparing him for those long stretches that the ministry was going to take him and his disciples on. Places where it would be difficult for them to find shelter and lodgings. And it was preparing him and teaching us through that experience to look to the Heavenly Father first and foremost. And then there are those times when Jesus was offered hospitality, and we see that Jesus takes the hospitality when it comes to him. He eats at various people's houses. And there is also the time when he actually invites himself round to Zacchaeus' house, saying, I will dine at your house tonight, which even in Jesus' day was not really culturally appropriate. But one of the things about that particular incident when Jesus says, I will dine at your house tonight, Zacchaeus, is that this is not a popular person for him to be dining with. The people didn't like Zacchaeus. He wasn't just a tax collector, which was a bad thing for him anyway, but he was a dishonest one that extorted money from people, lots and lots of money. But this is another example. The example of who Jesus dined with was that he wasn't really worried about what people thought of him, so long as he was doing the work that his Father had sent him to do. People thought badly of Jesus at times because of the company he was keeping, but ministering to those people, leading them towards salvation, was more important than what the people were thinking around him. And this is the kind of trust we need to have too, as Jesus had. As we look back at today's passage, we read that Jesus says, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Jesus teaches us to have confidence in God's way. And he knows that many people that he and his disciples go to are not going to be receptive to the message that they bring. But at the same time, he knows that other people will be receptive. And when he sends out the 12, and he's teaching them how to be disciples, how to be his followers, he sends out the 12 into the surrounding towns and villages. He says to them, whatever town or village you enter, search there for some worthy person and stay at their house until you leave. As you enter the home, give it your greeting. If the home is deserving, let your peace rest on it. If it is not, let your peace return to you. See, when Jesus sends out his disciples into the world to teach about the kingdom of God, to teach about the Messiah, he knows that they're going to find people who will hear that message and be receptive and offer them hospitality. That's how things happened in those days. And I suppose that this can help us to know that when we go out in Jesus' name, he will supply our needs as well. And actually, if you don't find that when you're going around talking to people about Jesus, that they don't say, well, you know, here's a drink, here's some food, it's kind of, in our culture, they know you've already got that, don't they? You know, we go up Tesco, we go up Waitrose, we don't have to go far here to find our food, because we're in that blessed place where those things are taken care of. But God will, if we go out into the world for him, supply us with what we need spiritually to be able to go into those situations. Jesus' teaching helps us to put our worries into perspective. Now, important thing to say, of course, is I'm not putting your worries into perspective for you. I'm not saying, oh, don't worry about that, don't worry about that. Because there might be things in your life at the moment that, you know, are legitimately things that you're worrying about, probably be things that I'd worry about if they're in my life as well. But what I am saying is encouraging you to put those worries before the throne of God and to trust him. So we quoted earlier, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7 says, cast your cares upon him, for he cares for you. And if God has carried you this far, won't he still now carry you further? We remember as well that there is an end of the journey. You know, none of us are going to live forever. Each of us will come to the end of our earthly days at some point along the way. Unless, of course, Jesus returns first, which we always need to remember. But what we can say is that the end of our days will only come when God wills it. You can read in the Psalms, And it says that each one of our days was written in his book before one of them came to be. And therefore that we know that each day that we live, we can rest in the knowledge that God knows about this day already. And that each of our days, today, tomorrow, the next day, are given into God's care. And we can begin each day by remembering that. This is the day that you have made, Lord. The Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Philippi, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God which transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." I think quite often in my experience that peace comes in my heart when I know that God knows. When you know that God knows your situation. Now we could say, well, of course God knows my situation. But do you know in your heart that he knows that situation? And that's where prayer and petition and telling God things really is helpful. Do you know that God knows your situation? Have you spoken to him about it? Have you remembered that he watches over you, that he loves you, that he's your creator, that he's your heavenly father? These are the things that can help us respond to the problems in our lives rather than just worrying around in circles. How might we apply this to our lives this week? There's another slide just after this one. Just a little suggestion. Maybe get a piece of paper this week, or an Excel file if you're modern, and have three columns. In the first column, write down something you're worried about. In the second column, write what you believe God would say in response. Perhaps a truth from the Bible, or perhaps words that you know are in line with what God says in the Bible. And in the third column, write something that you're thankful for. And maybe check your list the following week to see how those things have developed or not developed. I don't know where the statistic comes from, but I once heard that 92% of the things that we worry about never happen. Worry. I'm worried that I will be alone. God says, I'm with you always. He says that in Matthew 28:20. Thank you that you are always here with me. So today there'll be an opportunity after the service to get prayers. A couple of us, myself and Ella, have got these prayer ministry badges on today. So do feel free if you'd like to pray, to come to us after the service. You may also like to pray with a person that you know well or someone that you've come with. But the opportunity is there, because together we can support each other to lift our worries towards God and to know that they're in his hands. Let's pray together.